This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
There's no such thing as the emerging church. That's what I think. I think that after all of this time of talking about the emerging church and emergent and what the emerging church means for evangelical Christianity, I don't even think there's any such thing. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking today about the emerging church. You know, if you've got a movement that's so broad that you have to, every time you talk about it, say, now, yeah, you've got Brian McLaren, who holds to some heretical views over here. You have Mark Driscoll, who doesn't hold to heretical views over here. You've got Dan Kimball, who's willing to stand up at Willow Creek and argue for the doctrine of hell. You've got all of these differences and disagreements within this movement. Is it really even fair to call it a movement? Is it even really fair to call it a mood? I'm not sure, but I think that one of the issues that we need to look at, those of us in evangelical Christian churches, conservative evangelical Christian churches, even those of us concerned about what's going on with the emerging church, and there are some aspects of it that those of you listening to this program know I'm really concerned about. We've had Tony Jones on this program twice. Very, very slippery fellow when it comes to what he actually believes and what he actually articulates. But I think Tony Jones is dangerous. I think Tony Jones' view of Christianity, his view of the faith once for all delivered to the saints, is something other than historic Orthodox Christianity. I'm concerned about people like that. But there are all kinds of other people who are kind of lumped into this emerging church movement that I don't even think it really describes them. What do you think? How should we as churches understand and relate to what we see out there in what is called the emerging church? When you have 20-somethings on college campuses all over the country and they're reading materials that are given to them by their campus ministries, by campus ministries that are being funded and supported by people who are sitting in pews believing the old-time gospel, they're receiving Donald Miller, they're receiving Rob Bell books, they're receiving all of these materials. Should we be worried about this? Or is it something that's just kind of going to blow through and blow out? Are you worried about the emerging church? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. In a few minutes, we're going to have on the program a couple of guys who say they should be emergent, but they're not. Kevin DeYoung and Ted Cluck written a book, Moody Press has published, called Why We're Not Emergent, by two guys who should be. Actually, as you read through this book, I found out I should be too, according to them. As a matter of fact, according to them, maybe I am. Because you start reading through this and they start talking about people who are emerging, the kinds of authors they like to read. Well, some of those people are my favorite authors. And some of the things they like to do, well, some of that describes me. So maybe I'll find out today that I'm really an emerging church guy, and I'll grow a soul patch and go home. What do you think? How should we relate to and understand and think about the emerging church? Give me a call. Let me know. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are you worried about it at all? Or do you think there are some good things in the emerging church that we ought to listen to? I think there are. I think that the emerging church has raised some good questions. I think that it has pointed out some deficiencies in our churches, but as in every other movement like this, there is an opportunity for heretical people, for, as the Apostle Paul says, wolves to come in among the sheep who see those weak points in the church and use it to destroy the faith of people. I think we've got to beware the wolves. I think we've got to stand against the wolves. At the same time, we need to ask, how are they getting in here? Why are they getting a hearing? What are we not saying that we need to start saying? The emerging church, what do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. But first, in the news, Senator Barack Obama and Senator John McCain went back and forth on the Sunday morning news programs yesterday. I didn't see it live. I always just listen to these things now later on by podcast. So I'm actually in the middle of listening to John McCain's interview with George Stephanopoulos on This Week. And Barack Obama appeared on Meet the Press with interim host Tom Brokaw back and forth on the issue of the surge. This is what Barack Obama had to say.
Do you think that President Maliki would be in a position to more or less endorse your timetable of getting troops out within 16 months if it had not been for the surge?
You know, we don't know. There were also statements made during the course of this debate in which I said there's no doubt that additional U.S. troops could temporarily quell the violence. But unless we saw a underlying change in the politics of the country, unless Sunni, Shia, Kurd made different decisions, then we were going to have a civil war, and we could not stop a civil war simply with more troops.
John McCain told George Stephanopoulos that he has not called for a timetable. Stephanopoulos was trying to say, you know, actually, you and Barack Obama are in the same place now because you're both calling for measured withdrawal from Iraq. Senator McCain said, no, that's not it. This is what he had to say.
I've always said, and I said then, it's the conditions on the ground. If Senator Obama had had his way, we'd have been out last March, and we'd have been out in defeat and chaos and probably had to come back again because of Iranian influence. It's conditions on the ground.
And, as always, this time of year, every 4 years, there's speculation about who will be the vice presidential picks of the two party candidates. Even speculation and rumors as to whether or not those picks will be announced soon. Friday, there was a rumor that John McCain was going to announce his vice presidential nominee to a key group of donors and other supporters at his home yesterday and then make the announcement today. Obviously, that did not happen. It's just another rumor. But time's running out because the Olympics are going to be starting after the first week of August. And so it looks like sometime within the next 2 weeks, we will have at least one of the vice presidential nominees. This is what Barack Obama had to say about his pick.
I want somebody who I'm compatible with, who I can work with, who has a shared vision, who certainly complements me in the sense that they provide a knowledge base or an area of expertise that can be useful.
And Senator McCain had this to say.
So what do you want to do with your pick? I want to be the best team that we can provide the United States of America in very difficult times.
Are you getting close on a decision?
We're still in the process.
Of course, for Senator McCain, the rumor mill out there says that the top front-running candidates are former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, but the rumor mill is usually wrong. So I think it depends on whether or not Senator McCain wants to go for stable, experienced, boring, or whether Senator McCain wants to do something really electric and exciting. I'm guessing, my gut tells me the second option, and if I had to guess right now, I'd say that Senator McCain picks Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, and that Barack Obama picks Virginia Governor Tim Kaine. I think that's where it's going, but I could well be wrong. When it comes to this, we usually are. Also, there is an Oliver Stone movie coming out on George W. Bush, simply called W. This is the trailer released today. This is what it's about.
I remember correctly, you didn't like the sporting goods job.
So what's your wall? Come on, baby.
Working in the investment firm wasn't for you either.
Or the oil rig job.
You didn't exactly finish up with flying colors in the Air National Guard, Junior.
What are you cut out for?
Partying, chasing tail, driving drunk?
I got it.
Who do you think you are?
The Kennedy?
You're a Bush. Act like one.
You know, I think that this movie is probably going to be just another Oliver Stone hit job, and I think people are really kind of getting bored with it right now. I mean, who knows what Oliver Stone is going to do, but how does he have any credibility left the way he has done such revisionist history on Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy and everybody else? Well, speaking of revisionism, the emerging church? Does it bother you? Are you scared by it? Or do you think there are some things that we can learn from the emerging church? And how do we differentiate between maybe the good contributions the emerging church wants to bring to the table and those things that would destroy the faith once we're all delivered to the saints? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are the 20-somethings in your church, are they emergent? Should they be? We'll be talking to a couple of guys who say they should be, but aren't, in just a minute. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and this is Russell Moore.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the emerging church. How should we, as Christians, respond to what some people in this movement call a movement? I don't think it is. I think it is disparate. I think it is widespread, so far widespread that it's very difficult and increasingly difficult to really call this a movement. But it is a mood. It is an attitude. How should we as Christians respond to it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If you've got a 20-something-year-old, a 20-something in your church who says, I'm reading Rob Bell and I really like it, what's your response? How should we guide and shepherd someone who's getting involved with some people that we may say have some serious doctrinal issues? 877-893-8255. And let me know what you think we should do as conservative evangelical Christians in response to emerging church Christianity. But first, on the line, I have two men who have authored a book by Moody Press called Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be. Kevin DeYoung, who is the senior pastor at University Reformed Church in East Lansing, Michigan. It's right across the street from Michigan State University. And Ted Kluck, who's a sports writer whose work has appeared in ESPN, the magazine, Sports Spectrum magazine, and in several literary journals. And they teamed up to write this book that is very well written, very comprehensive, very engaging. I think this is something you could give to anybody in a congregation who's thinking through these issues about the emerging church, whether that person is a layperson, a pastor, a college student, anyone, to say, you know, this is a comprehensive look at some of the issues being discussed within the emerging church. I also think that unlike some books on the emerging church, it's not so easily dated. I think this book is going to be around for a while. I don't think it's going to be out of date right away as this movement tends to evolve and evolve and evolve. Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It's good to have both you guys on here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Glad to.
Thanks a lot.
Now, you two mention in your book, actually in the title, that you should be emergent. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, Kevin and I were probably those 20-year-olds that you mentioned in your opener who were reading a lot of these books. And, you know, for Kevin as a pastor, it was more about, you know, wanting to know what was going on in the evangelical world. For me, it was just kind of curiosity. And people, I think, thought we were cooler than we were, maybe. I mean, I think we sort of looked the part of the emergent church. You know, we're young, white, suburbanite, kind of college grad types who are into, you know, movies and books and that sort of thing. And, you know, for all of its talk about diversity and inclusiveness, I think the demographic that the emergent church hits is pretty narrow, and we probably fit that demographic at some level. But, you know, of course, as we read a lot of these books and as I read them from the perspective of the guy in the pew, it sort of became clear to me that, you know, this is something that we needed to get involved with, I guess, and contribute to the discussion, if you will.
Now, why do you think that this movement gains traction? I mean, what's attractive about this to the kind of 20-something that you just mentioned?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there's there's probably some white suburban guilt that comes into play, and I think people, you know, they get excited about the missional stuff, and I don't want to impugn everyone's motives. There's probably a lot of good motives wanting to do the social justice stuff, but I think sometimes it's feeling like, man, I've had this privileged life here living in the suburbs. I better go do something important. And I think by the same token, you have a reaction to mega churches and seeker-sensitive churches
mm-hmm.
and people who felt like, oh, man, all I ever got was, you know, 10 points on how to handle your dog's stress and then a movie clip or something and a really good-looking praise team, and I want something more out of church. And then I think it's just easy because there's little offense in the emergent gospel, if you could even call it a gospel. I mean, it's a message that I think appeals to our natural self. It tells you, go out and make a difference in the world, go out and set the world on fire for Jesus. And it has that sort of fetchingly rebellious air to it that people who, you know, go off to Christian colleges or are in kind of Christian bubbles like Grand Rapids or Wheaton or maybe even Louisville or Louisville or however you say it down there. I know your signs have like 10 different pronunciations.
That's right.
You know, I think people feel like, it, you know, they grew up in a Christian subculture and, hey, this is a way to be cool and hip and yet still retain my Christian credentials, where Ted and I have reflected a number of times, you know, being across the street from a Big Ten university, it doesn't seem to have the same appeal. People
mm-hmm.
feel like, man, I get postmodernism in my classes, and
mm-hmm.
reading it in my theology books is just not cool anymore.
Don't you think that a significant amount of this, at least at the popular level, is kind of being embarrassed about some of the social realities of evangelical Christianity? You're wanting to say, let me make it very clear, I'm not one of those guys reading Tim LaHaye.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the major tenets of a lot of this emergent literature is this, you know, apology for, you know, all kinds of things that have happened in the evangelical church, you know, some of which is more serious than others. But yeah, there's definitely it's a way to provide distance and say, I'm not one of those cheesy evangelicals that likes cheesy things. You know, I'm in a sense way cooler than, you know, the rest of those people. So I think there is definitely that ethic. And there's also, I mean, I think it's kind of a reaction to who's in office. You know, I think the religious right kind of crowd was never more popular than when Clinton was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see this kind of left-leaning, you know, segment of Christianity in the emergent church that's really getting a lot of traction now that the George W. Bush is in office. So, you know, I think some of that is just kind of natural pendulum swinging that happens. But, you know, a lot of it, too, is just, like Kevin said, you know, kind of capitalizing on that sexy rebellion ethic that people use to sell us pop and computers and pretty much anything else you can imagine.
Yeah, you know, the political aspect of it, and I have been very critical of the religious right, and am, about the way that the religious right has carried out some of its political activities. But you hear all of this, we need to separate the church from the political process, at the same time that these emerging church leaders are doing things like, in the news today, the Matthew 25 initiative, which is actually supporting Democratic candidates and Democratic causes and opposing the Bush administration. It's just taking on the entire politicization of the church, but from the left this time. I mean, who is calling out this kind of hypocrisy from within the movement?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one person, ironically enough, I have seen that Leonard Sweet, who is part of the movement, has been critical that he feels like his friend Brian McLaren is getting too politically involved. I mean, it's no secret that he's going to support Barack Obama. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right, all the criticisms of the religious right, they seem to be making the exact same sort of selling out equations. And I mean, no matter how many times I see the bumper sticker that says God may not be a Republican or a Democrat, I mean, The gist sure seems to be he's going to vote Democrat, and you would too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine. You can have both Democrats and Republicans in the church, but the emergent church just seems to be selling out wholesale to a new kind of political ethic.
All right. What do you think? Do you think that we should be afraid of the emerging church? Should we just ignore it and it'll go away? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we engage the emerging church? We'll be right back with Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, authors of Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
I was in a church several years ago, went into the place, it was deader than a doornail. I mean, the place was just, there was just a dead feeling when you walked into the place. Everybody seemed to be just kind of leaned forward in their pews, drooling. There was no energy, there was nothing. And it was one of the coldest experiences I've ever been through, of people just kind of moving from one thing that they do every week to the next thing that they've done for the past 50 years. And I said to a friend of mine who's got in the car to leave, you know, if I had grown up in a church like that, I probably would have turned out to be a hardcore postmodernist emerging church type. I think there are a lot of people who are in that situation. They are looking at what they believe to be conservative evangelical Christianity and saying there has to be something different than this. What do you think? How should we respond to what is called the emerging church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If you could give a piece of advice to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, we've got 20-somethings, we've got young 30-somethings who are being drawn into maybe some unhealthy things in the emerging church, and this is how it ought to be addressed. What would you say? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have on the line Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, who are the authors of Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be, published by Moody Press. You can get that in your local Christian bookstore or your local Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.com, wherever you want to look and find books. But they're writing a book about how to think through the issues being raised by the emerging church, and I think it's a really helpful read. I commend it to you. Kevin and Ted, I can just imagine somebody sitting out there saying, what is the emerging church? How do I even understand what you're talking about? How would you explain the emerging church to someone who has no idea what we're talking about?
Probably not very well, because that's always the hardest question. What is the emerging church? When we first started reading stuff, we thought it was just the three C's, coffee, candles, and couches.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a stylistic thing, but we realize it really goes a lot deeper than that. So, you know, the last thing we want is anybody listening to this to freak out if, you know, you got a Java center in your church lobby or something.
And that's actually a good idea, by the way. But go ahead.
If you have good coffee, unlike our church. But, you know, I think the shortest description we usually give is it's a group of mostly young pastors and authors who are trying to accommodate Christianity to a postmodern mood. Now, that's not very helpful because no one understands what postmodernism is, mm-hmm. myself included. But it's people who say, look, the church has been captured by modernism, and modernism gave us systematic theology and the four spiritual laws and left behind, and here's how you get saved, and you just get your ticket punched to heaven, and it's too linear and too rationalistic, and it's just interested in managing your sin problem, and postmodernism is more interested in story, and so on and on and on. They want to accommodate it and say, look, this isn't working anymore. Church as we know it doesn't work, so we need to reinvent it. And it's more than just changing methods. That was always the mantra with the seeker-sensitive church. We're not changing the message, just the methods, where at least a number of these folks are honest enough to say, you know, we are changing the message. This is a different kind of Christianity for a different time.
Don't you think, though, that the critique when it comes to especially the very hyper-linear way of thinking and preaching in some of our churches, that that's actually dead on? I mean, you have churches that have a mode of preaching that does seem to bypass the narrative of Scripture and just kind of mine the narrative for principles or for catechetical points. I mean, isn't there a legitimate critique being made by some of these emerging church leaders?
Well, it's like you said in the introduction, you talked about going to some church and people are just drooling. I mean, it's so boring and dead. And I think Ted and I have been fortunate enough that, you know, we haven't been to perfect churches. Nobody has been. But we've been to pretty good churches. And so these sort of experiences haven't been our experiences. But I know that there is the kind of preaching, you know, a seminarian gets out and he's doing word studies about genitive absolutes and he's talking about those in the pulpit. And, I mean, just boring people silly. Or he's got a great psalm to preach from, and all he can give you is, you know, 3 points about baptism or something. So, yeah, I mean, it is a problem, but, you know, it's the old saying, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I think that's what the emergent church is guilty of so often.
Yeah, hang on the line. I'll give you 3 points about baptism if you'll just wait. This
well,
is Russell
I'll give you
Moore.
Three, too.
This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking about the emerging church. How would you advise a pastor? This is how we have to reach the next generation to keep them from veering off into some of the more dangerous aspects of the emerging church. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Just proving that I don't always pick the music that comes in and out of these segments here on the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the emerging church with the authors, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, authors of Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be. And I'm interested to know what you would think. How would you speak to a 21-year-old college kid who says, hey, I'm reading a lot of Rob Bell, I'm reading a lot of Donald Miller, I'm reading a lot of the emerging church stuff, maybe even some Brian McLaren, it makes sense to me. How would you respond to that? Would you worry about it, or would you say, this is just a fad, he's moving through it, and he'll move right on out into something more substantive? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK, and let's talk about the emerging church. Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, authors of Why We're Not Emergent. I'm really interested in how would you size up the movement? I mean, not everybody that is emerging is emerging. I mean, not everybody who fits into this category is a heretic. You've got people like Mark Driscoll, like Dan Kimball. Aren't there some good guys in this movement?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I hope we accomplished with the book was to present that whole spectrum of the movement and, you know, to really present the fact that there were some guys, you know, kind of on the more moderate end of the movement, like Dan Kimball, like Mark Driscoll, who are really doing a great job. I mean, their churches might have some of the trappings of emergent outwardly, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're preaching an orthodox gospel. And, you know, I think, you know, you described the movement as kind of amorphous and hard to pin down, and I think it really is in that you can't say, well, this is what all emergents believe, or this is even what some emergents believe. You kind of have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, hopefully we did a decent job of that, though it is hard to do.
Now, have you heard anything from any of the emerging church leaders about your book? What do they think?
You know, not a ton. We've had some good dialogue with, again, some of the more moderate guys. Scott McKnight has talked with Kevin. I think Dan Kimball has talked some, and you know, those were really good conversations. But you know, as far as the guys on the far left end of the movement, we haven't heard much.
How much of the emerging church mood do you think can be summed up by just cynicism, by Generation Y cynicism at everything? Don't you think that that's kind of a crucial element of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big element. I mean, you have these are the folks who are going to be staying up late to watch Jon Stewart and Steve Colburn or whoever the guy is. And, I mean, they're funny, but it's just sort of nonstop, jaded cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
Church stinks and everything stinks. And, you know, evangelical subculture is lame. And I go to Eminem concerts, and so I'm cutting edge and raw. I think you definitely have some of that. And hopefully some of the people enamored with Emergent for those reasons will grow up and grow out of that. And hopefully some of, you know, us conservative evangelicals will take the critique for what it's worth and admit, yeah, we've produced some lame, cheesy stuff, and we can do better.
It's Stephen Colbert, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
not cool.
I'm not. It's past my bedtime.
Now, what would you say to someone who says, you know, I've got that 20-something-year-old in my church, and he's reading Rob Bell. He got it at his campus ministry. How would you advise that person to deal with that that young guy to kind of work him through this?
Yeah, I think you have to be real careful in a couple different ways. I think if you come on real strong and you just say, what are you doing? I saw you reading Velvet Elvis. Get mm-hmm. that trash out of here. Don't you know he's emergent? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just going to confirm all of the worst suspicions and probably the sort of reasons why somebody's reading Rob Bell in the first place. So, you know, we had a guy in our church who had another friend in our church reading Velvet Elvis, and so he said, well, let's read this together and kind of talk through it. I think that's a much better approach, not to be alarmist about it, because by God's grace, a lot of people read books that aren't very good, and yeah. they have enough theological filter that they don't even pick up some of the things. You know, Ted could tell you more about our trip to Mars Hill, and I just think, you know, a lot of the people, they're not hearing what Rob Bell is saying, and so they may read a book like Velvet Elvis or even The Shack and pick up something that seems good to them, even though there's tons of theological errors, and you just need to be careful with how you address it.
Yeah, you argue in the book that at Mars Hill Church, for instance, where Rob Bell is pastor, that the people there are not checked into the emerging church movement in the way that some people might think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we went there expecting to see this, you know, wildly diverse, kind of street-level, edgy crowd, and what we saw instead were several thousand kind of tall Dutch, burned-out-looking evangelicals. And
they look like me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think for all of, again, for all of its, you know, maybe talk about diversity, I think it's more of a landing place for wounded or tired evangelicals, it seems to be.
You know, I think that is an excellent point. I went over to Rob Bell's Everything is Spiritual tour a couple of hours
yeah.
from here and went in expecting, you know, this was supposed to be the next Billy Graham, and I'm expecting to see a bunch of unconverted people coming to hear the claims about the gospel, and it was a bunch of college groups from Baptist and Presbyterian churches around bringing their college kids to listen to this. So I think,
you know, and a lot of people in the evangelical church are kind of trying to co-opt Rob Bell's coolness, and you know, unfortunately, I think it's Madison Avenue and the book industry that kind of decides when trends or movements are over. And, you know, Rob Bell is putting people in the seats, as they say. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of that maybe before it goes away.
Where do you think this movement's going to be in 10 years, 25 years?
Yeah, we get asked that question a lot. And, of course, it's hard to say. I do think it's more than just a fad. You know, the candles and coffee and stuff in the, you know, video clips of The Matrix and singing Johnny Cash songs, that's going to be a huge fad. And these
The Johnny Cash songs are going to continue for a long time.
But not in church,
okay.
Thankfully. you know, evangelicals are always chasing what's the latest thing. But some of the theology, I think, will unfortunately have some more traction, because I think you're really seeing a rebirth of liberalism in evangelical and sometimes in MTV kind of close. And I think you've already seen in some places that emergence and the mainlines are starting to find each other.
Yeah.
Mainlines don't have energy, but they got institutions and money. And the emergence
right.
got energy, and they're going to find each other, and that could give them some longevity.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck, authors of Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be. We'll be right back to talk about what we can learn from the emerging church, if anything. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Man, I am disturbed by the last segment. I have to tell you, I am disturbed. They say that what's going to go away from the emerging church fad is the Johnny Cash and the coffee. That's the best part. Leave the cash and the coffee, get rid of the theology, and I can work with this for the next 25, 30, 50, 60 years or what have you. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking about the emerging church with the authors of Why We're Not Emergent by Two Guys Who Should Be. I really think that this is a helpful book to read. And I think what we need, not to simply say, oh, the emerging church, anything that's involved with the emerging church is obviously heretical. No, 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 no. There's some good guys here who are labeled emerging. There's also some positive, good critiques coming from some of those folks who are labeled as emerging of traditional evangelical church life. It simply is a fact that some of our churches have lost any sense of authenticity, of community, of mystery, of story. It's simply true that some evangelical preaching goes through the narrative of Scripture and tries to mine out of that narrative either tips for living or sets of doctrines to line up there in a church service. I think that's true. That's a valid critique. But the way that we answer that critique is not by abandoning the gospel and embracing something else. It's by saying the call to faithfulness means constantly reforming the church. It means constantly saying, let's listen to what the Spirit is speaking through the Scriptures and let's conform ourselves to that. Let's have churches where there's inauthenticity, let's be authentic through repentance and faith. Where there's a lack of story, let's embrace the old, old story, that gospel story that's revealed in Scripture. Where there's a loss of mystery, then let's get humble and recognize and know that we're serving a magnificent God. Where we're co-opted by our culture or by some political system, let's step back and embrace the fullness of the faith. But at the same time, let's recognize and know that there are some who would use the weaknesses in any of our churches in order to bring in another gospel, to bring in something that doesn't just weaken us, it actually destroys us. That's deadly. But we've got the answer to it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. We'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.